We're up to, we're in the middle of Torah Chof Beis in Likutei Moran, Chelek Aleph. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 77, the left-hand column, about three-quarters way down the page. It's actually towards the end of Ois Yud Aleph. In this last segment of this chapter in Likutei Moran, Rabbi Nizal is going to summarize a lot of what he spoke about earlier, the different concepts, and connect them to a story in the Gemara. First, we'll do the story, and understand, we'll do the story inside the Gemara. You'll just listen. It's not in your Likutei Moran the way I'm going to present it. And then we'll go into the Likutei Moran to see how Rabbi Nizal explains this story. The Gemara here in Baba Kama is talking about a person who does certain type of damage, and how we determine, or an animal that does damage to a person's field, and how we determine the payment for the damage. So the Gemara discusses that if an animal were to eat one row within a field, we don't go out and calculate the value of one row of a field by itself, because the Gemara says that that's more expensive than if it were part of a large field. Because generally, who can afford, you know, poor people can only afford to buy a small plot of land. So therefore, they would pay, and because they can only afford that, they pay a higher price for that thin strip of land than a wealthy person would be paying if that strip of land were part of a large chunk of land. So the Gemara says that very often when we want to calculate how he pays, we determine it by one, we take an area of 60 saw, a certain large amount, and then we determine how much this would be worth if it were part of that, and then we divide it by 1/60th and work out a certain calculation, and that's how we determine what the person has to pay for damaging this one furrow. We're not going to go into all the details. This is a discussion in the Gemara and Baba Kama. So the Gemara says, related to this, that there was a man by the name of Eliezer Ze'era who wore black shoes. The Gemara says he was walking in the marketplace of Nardo, and the people from the Reish Galusa, the people from the household of the Nosi and Bovelike, saw him wearing black shoes, which at the time was strange. It looked different. Tosfos comments about the fact that we know the Gemara says in another place that the Jews were known bedafka to wear black shoes. So what was different about wearing the black shoes? Tosfos says it's talking about the shoelaces. That in those days the Jews generally wore black shoes with white laces. Whereas here they saw him wearing shoes, black shoes with black laces. So they asked him, what's this all about? Why are you dressing differently than everybody else? He answered, I'm in mourning over the destruction of the city of Yerushalayim. And this is how I show my mourning, by wearing all black. So they said to him, you're such a big tzaddik, you're such an important person that you're the one to be misabel on Yerushalayim? You're the one to dress differently as a sign of mourning of Yerushalayim? The Gemara says they came to the conclusion that this must be arrogance on his part. He must be a Baal Gaiva, and he's trying to show off, and therefore they threw him in prison. At that time they had power, the Resh Galus and Bovel had authority, so they threw this person into prison. So he said to them, what are you doing? I'm an important person. I'm a Talmud Chacham. And he said to them, I'll prove it to you. How am I going to prove it? Let's make a deal. I'll ask you a question, and I'll show you that you can't answer a question that I ask you. Otherwise, you ask me a question, and we'll see if I can't answer your most difficult question. So they said to him, go ahead, ask. So the Gemara says, he said to them, if a person cuts off unripe dates from somebody else's tree, what does he have to pay? How do we calculate their value? They're not ripe yet. So they said to him, he pays the value of unripe dates. So he said to them, but what are you talking about? Unripe dates aren't worth that much. And these dates, if he would have left them alone, if he wouldn't have cut them off, they would have ripened and they would have been worth the full value of regular dates. So they said to him, so fine, then let then he pays the value of full dates, you know, fully ripened dates. So he said to them, but they're not ripened yet. So what do you do? So they said to him, they saw that he was obviously asking some kind of a tricky question. So he said to them, so they said to him, do you know the answer? He said, yes, we calculate it b'shishim. We do this calculation that we learned earlier about, where you have to take a plot of land 60 times as large and divide it, etc. So they said to him, could you prove that you're right? He said, yeah, Shmuel is still living, and his bezdin in the city of Narado is still established. Go ask him. He's the chief rabbi of this city, Narado. Go ask him, you'll see what he says. So the Gemara says they sent a messenger to Shmuel, and he said, this man is 100% right in terms of this calculation b'shishim. And the Gemara says, then they let him out of prison. They let this Eliezer Zira out of prison. This is a story that the Gemara mentions in Baba Kama. Rabbi Nazar references this story and ties it into our discussion. Rabbi Nazar says now, v'zeh pirish Eliezer Zira havasayim esan uchma. The Gemara says that Eliezer Zira was wearing black shoes, Omrulei, so the people from the house of the Reish Galusa said to him, Mayavdis, what are you doing? Why are you dressing noticeably different than everybody else? Omar, he said, Komisabil mal Yerushalayim. I'm showing an extra sign of mourning for the destruction of Yerushalayim. Now Rabbi Nazal explains, Ki hoyomisabel al Yerushalayim kirya ne'emona. He was mourning over the city of Yerushalayim, which is the symbol of the emuna of a Jew. Yerushalayim is called in the Navi Kirya Ne'emona, the city of faith. Hainu al kilkul ho'emuna. If he was mourning the destruction of Yerushalayim, it means he was feeling bad over the fact that the emuna, the faith of the Jews, has become weakened. Va'alkein siem misana uchma. Therefore, he wore black shoes, lehoirois sheneskalkel choisom horaglin, to show he was implying that there was a problem with the seal of the feet. We had learned earlier in this chapter on Likutei Moran that there were two choisamois, the choisam horaglin and the choisam ayodin. Rabbi Nazal says this shows that the choisam horaglin became spoiled. And instead of choisam, which represents a seal of kedusha, it got converted to dam nidas. Nidas means impurity. We learned earlier that the word nidas was bigimatria choisam. Vze mesano uchma, black shoes, sheniskalkel horaglin venase nidas. The raglin became spoiled, the feet got messed up, and it became this nidas. Ki hai shochor edoimhu, because the Gemara says that black is actually red. When blood is left around for a while, it turns black. But that black isn't real black. Its original color is actually red. So here too, when he was wearing these black shoes, he was implying a problem with blood, with this dam nidas, that a choisam had become spoiled, and it was specifically related to the feet. And this was caused through a spoilage of emuna. Ki ikur hiu emuna kimavur lamala, because we learned earlier that the main choisam was the choisam hayodayim, which was called the choisam emuna. And we said that when that choisam becomes spoiled, automatically it affects the feet. Ki ikur hiu emuna kimavur lamala shalidei kilkul hu emuna shubichinas choisam ayodin niskalkel memela choisam oraglin. We had learned earlier that when the choisam hayodayim becomes spoiled, which is the emuna, vaihi yodov emuna, the posuk says, when that becomes ruined, then automatically the choisam horaglin becomes ruined. We had learned that the choisam horaglin referred to the tzaddikim of the generation, the ones whose job it is to go to speak to. They're the feet of Hashem. They do Hashem's walking to Bnei Yisrael to speak to them, to be moichiach them, etc. Ki ikar hu emuna kanal, because we learned earlier that the main thing that has to be watched is that choisam hayodayim, which is the emuna. Omrulei, so the people from the Reish Galusa said to him, mi choshuv at lesabuli? Are you on a level that you should be the one mourning for the destruction of Yerushalayim? Hainu shechoshduhu sheyesh loy gadlus. This means they suspected him of having gaiva. V'alkein al yodcho niskalkalu araglin. They were saying, therefore, it's your fault that the raglin has become spoiled. Bebechinas al tevoyeni regel gaiva. We find that the pasuk makes an association between gaiva, arrogance, and the feet. So they were saying, you're wearing these black shoes. By you, it's not a symbol of purity, but it's a symbol, it's a reflection of your gaiva. Kaide gadlus niskalkalu araglin. Because when a person has gaiva, he does harm to the feet. Bebechinas, as the Gemara says, kol hamizgoe keilu doichek ragle ashchina. That a person who has gaiva, it's as if he's pushing away the feet of Hashem. Because this world is called the footstool of Hashem. There's a pasuk that says, Hashamayim kisi, v'ho'oretz hadoim ragli. That the heavens are my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Which implies that Hashem's presence in this world is symbolized by kaviyachol. It's the lowest part of Hashem that's supervising and taking care of this world. Kaviyachol, the feet. When a person shows gaiva, he implies that he's big enough, he doesn't need Hashem. It's as if he's pushing away the feet of Hashem, implying a pagam in the raglin, in the feet. V'alkein kivon shechashdu begadlus. Therefore, since they suspected him of gaiva, chavshuhu, they threw him into prison. Ki oinesh hagadlus hutfisa. Because the rule is that the punishment for gaiva is imprisonment. Kemoisham Razal, as the Gemara says, Vim Higiz Daitoi, that if a person has Gaiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashpiloi, Hashem humbles him, Hashem lowers him. Shenemar, as the Posek says, Ve'imasurim Bozikim, that if they have arrogance, they end up in chains. Bozikim refers, this Asurim Bozikim means tied up in chains, implying imprisonment. That the result of gaiva is that it leads to imprisonment. Nimtza she'oinish hagadlus tfisa v'alkein chavshuhu. Therefore, we see from the Gemara that the penalty for gaiva is imprisonment. Therefore, they suspected him of this. They threw him into prison. Omar lahu. So he said to them, "Bo'u minoi oi iboi minaychu. Either you ask me a question, or I'll ask you a question." Because this will be the test to show whether I'm a bal gaiva. Because the oz roi shaloi uchal hoshev lochem. Because if I have gaiva, then I wouldn't have the wherewithal, the brains, to be able to answer your question. Because the Gemara says, when a person has gaiva, he forfeits his wisdom. He gives up his chachma. His chachma leaves him. So therefore, he said to them, if you'll ask me a deep question and I'll be able to answer it, obviously that'll show that I'm not a bal gaiva. So the Gemara says, they said to him, fine, you ask first. The Gemara says, boy minayhu, he asked them, hai man de kotz kufra mai meshalim. A person who cuts unripened dates that belong to somebody else and he steals it, what does he have to pay? How do we determine the amount? Rabbi Nizal explains, kotz kufra hu bechinas shepogam bi'azus. This term, kotz kufra, implies a person who has chutzpah, a person who has the wrong kind of azus. Kufra hu bechinas azus, because this word kufra represents azus, bechinas koilois. We learned earlier that sometimes a person's strength, a person's power is shown by the sound of their voice, the koil. Rabbein Zal quoted a pasuk, Hein yitein bekoiloi koil oiz. He gives forth with his voice a powerful sound. So we see that the koil is a reflection of oiz, of strength. Rabbein Zal says, Kamoi shekosov, as the pasuk says, Hakfirim shoyagim lateref. The kfirim, kfir means a young lion, the young lions roar for food. So we see that kfir is one who roars. This kfir, so the kufra represents the azus. V'shoal, he asked them, "My mishale mi shepogam bozeho azus." A person who is poigem in azus, a person who has the wrong kind of chutzpah, the wrong kind of power, what does he have to pay? What's his tikkun? Veheshivu, so they answered him, Meshalem Kufra. Kemoy Shepogam Yeshalem. Meaning, whatever damage he did, that's what he has to make up. Vishoal, so he said to them, Vohokohavi Tamri, but this kufra, these unripened dates, are going to turn into ripe dates, which are much more expensive, so why should you charge him the price of unripe dates? Kialidei Shepogam Biazus, Yocholovoi Lekilkul Huemuna. He was implying to them that this kufra, this azuz, leads to tamri. Tamri represents a pigam in emuna. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, Hahemir goy elokim. Hashem says, does any other nation exchange their Hashem? Va'ami hemir kvoidi, like my people have exchanged me for other things? So we see that this term hemir, lahamir, refers to giving up one's faith, forfeiting one's faith. So Rabbi Nizal says this tamri refers to a pigam in emuna. So he said to them that this azus, if a person has azus, it'll automatically lead to a kilkul in emuna. Veishifu, so they said to him, fine, then let him pay yeshalim tamri. Then let the person pay the price for fully ripened dates. Kemoy shemagi al kilkul huemuna. Then let the person pay whatever price has to be paid for destroying one's faith. So he said to them, Voholoi havi tamri, ki afal pikein adayin loy bolu kfirus. But the fact is that the person hasn't yet fallen that far. Right now he's at the stage where his pigam is in azus. He hasn't yet been poigim in emuna. Veheshiv, so he answered them, Bishishim, that we have to do this special calculation based on 60. Hainu Gehenim. The number 60 represents Gehenim. Shekol ho'olam echod mishishim leGehenim. Because the Gemara says in Tainus that this whole world is 1/60th the size of Gehenim. The Gemara over there in Tainus also goes into a whole calculation. Ki az ponim legehenim, because we know the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that a person who has this wrong type of azus chutzpah, it leads to gehenim. Ki ha'inshim shel kol advarim hechlif Avram Avinu olav Hashem al shibud malchios, because Avram Avinu was able to get Hashem to exchange all the different types of punishments that Bnei Yisrael would have to go through. Avram Avinu was able to get Hashem to exchange it for a shibud malchios, for golus, meaning the fact that the Jews would be under the authority of other nations. this is what was considered to be the catch-all for all types of suffering and punishments that Jews would have to go through, except for one item. Ach oinish ho'azus nishar rak begehenim. But the Medrash says, except for one item. A person who has azus, chutzpah, a certain type of chutzpah, for him the penalty is only Gehenim. V'zeh shepogam bi'azus digdusha, ayidei az ponim the sitra achro, yishalim b'shishim hainu begehenim kanal. Therefore, this Elozo Zira said to them that that a person who is poigim in azus digdusha, the penalty is that they'll fall into Gehenim. In other words, he was implying to them that I'm not the Baal Gaiva, it's the ones that are throwing me into prison. Taking a person who doesn't deserve to be imprisoned and throwing him down, that's a chutzpah, and if you're doing this, you're going to get yourselves into Gehenim for it. So with this, Rabbi Nizal touched on some of the topics that we spoke about earlier, the azus, the emuna, these and Gehenim. Now Rabbi Nizal says, the azus digdusha hu bechinas tishrei. Which time during the year does a Jew show their azus digdusha, their real strength in terms of religion? Especially during the month of Tishrei. The Alkein Nikro Yerachoi Sonim. This is why the month of Tishrei is called in the Nevi'im the month of power, the month of the strong ones. Miloshen Tkifus V'Azus. That's the month of power and strength. Ki Oz Tsoyakin Yisroel Koilois. Because that's a month when the Jews scream to Hashem. The Shulchan Aruch says that it's customary during these days, during Rosh Hashanah, Seres Yimei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, even those people that during the year don't daven loud, on those days, especially, they're makpid to daven out loud, so that even when it comes to Shmoyne Esrei, the Shulchan Aruch says there's a little bit more of a license to be davening louder than during the year, because of the fact that it's this month of Tishrei, it's this Yom Adin, people are more strict, and Koil Mo'ira HaKavona. The koil shofar, and also that's the month during where we blow the shofar. Shehakoilos kulam hem bechinas azus kanal. We learned earlier that all types of koil represent azus, represent power and strength. The alkein oz nechtemu v'niskenu shnei achosamos. And it's for this reason that during the month of Tishrei, the Jews are sealed. These two chosam, we spoke earlier about a chosam and a chosam betoich chosam. We find that the month of Tishrei, there is this double seal, this twice chosam. Ki al yidei azus digdusha zoichin lo emuna. Because we learned earlier that if a Jew is zoichet to azus digdusha, that's how he gets close to the Jewish leaders, to the seven shepherds. We quoted the pasuk nehalto bi'ozcho el nevei kodshecho, that through oiz, a person comes close to the kedusha, and these shepherds, the main thing that they teach Bnei Yisrael is they teach emuna. They teach faith in Hashem. The pasuk says, ure'ei emuna, that the job of the royim, the shepherds, is to teach faith. Shehu bechinas choysam ayodin. Emuna represents the seal of the hands, as we learned earlier. And once the hands are clean, once the hands are fixed, the person has a keli into which to receive musar from the moichichim of the doer. We said that those leaders that go on behalf of Bnei Yisrael to be Mechich Bnei Yisrael, they represent the Choysam Oraglin. These were the two Choysams we spoke about earlier. Choysam betoich Choysam, a seal within a seal. Vizet Tishrei bigimatria beis ba'omim choysom imabeis tevois kemuva bekisviariz al bekavonas nidlo vayshana rabba. This is why the word Tishrei itself is bigimatria twice choysom, showing that this month, which is the month of oiz yarachoy sonim, through azus digdusha, a person comes to emuna. Through emuna, they come to the moichichi ador. We said emuna was the choysam ayodayim, the moichichi ador are the choysam araglayim. Therefore, this month of oiz, this hein yitain b'koila koila is the koila shofar and everything, is what leads to a tikkun of these two choysamos. Therefore, the word Tishrei itself is bigimatria twice choysam. The alkein the Tishrei simchas Yisrael. And this is also the reason why Tishrei is the month of Simcha, Zman Simchosenu, Sukkos. And even on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Shulchan Aruch warns that the Yidden, even when we go to a Yom Adin on Rosh Hashanah, we don't tear our clothes, we don't sit in ashes. On Rosh Hashanah, there's a mitzvah to eat a suda with basar, just like on a Shabbos, because a Jew goes into a Yom Adin with a certain degree of bitachon, confidence that Hashem will forgive, a certain positive attitude. So therefore, even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, to a degree, is a time of simcha also. Rabbein Azal says, ki azus wa'idei simcha kanal, because we learned earlier that where does a Jew get their strength from? Where does a Jew get the azus that's needed to come close to Hashem? Through simcha. Rabbein Azal had quoted the pasuk, ki chedvas Hashem hi mo'uzchem. Being happy with Hashem, that's a person's main strength. So therefore, if Tishrei is a month of oiz, Tishrei must also be a month of simcha. V'gam ha-mikra hazeh ne'mar al Rosh Hashanah. And that posuk, ichlu mamtakim ushsu mashmanim, etc., etc., ki chedvas Hashem yimuzchem, that's a posuk that Nehemiah, the Novi Nehemiah, said to the Jews about Rosh Hashanah, that after the judgment, go home and be happy and be confident that Hashem has accepted our tefillos. So Rabbein Azal shows here how the month of Tishrei, which has in it Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, special tremendous emphasis on koil, koil shofar, koil tefillah, all of that represents azus, strength, oiz, yarach oiz sonim, and oiz is connected with simcha, zman simchosenu during that month, and this all leads to the tikkun of the two chosamos, the first chasima, is during Yom Kippur, which is called a time of chasima. We say at Ne'ilah, v'chassoim, or v'chosmeinu b'sefer ha'chaim. And also, Hishana Rabbah is also called a concept of a second seal. It's like a second round of Yom Kippur that the Jews go through. Now, Rabbein Azal adds, this whole section of this chapter is actually appendixes to what we learned earlier. It's both. In other words, the word Azus, the Kedusha, can have thousands of definitions. It means, in the first siman, the first sif of Shulchan Aruch, he warns that in order for a Jew to be religious, a Jew who's going to want to really come close to Hashem is going to have to be prepared to be bathed, to be embarrassed and insulted for it. And he says that a person has to have the Azus to stand up to that. The concept of a person embarrassing somebody or insulting somebody for something and having enough self-confidence and believing in yourself, believing in what you're doing enough to stand up against shame and insult from other people, even if it's a majority. That's one example of Azus Dikdusha. When the Shulchan Aruch says, quotes the Mishnah, Hevi Az Kanomer, Gibor Kari Rotz Katzvi, it's talking about how a person gets up in the morning. Tzvi is fast, but Az is powerful. There's a certain concept of jumping quickly and also jumping with a strong step. In other words, a certain sure-footedness that's even more than just Zrizus. It's Zrizus with power. Also the form of Koilos, a person screaming loud, is a form of Azus. In other words, a form of this Azus Dikdusha. The fact that a person doesn't take a laid-back attitude to tefillah, just davening at a quiet, but rather putting power into it, whether it's screaming audibly, or if he's in the presence of people, screaming in a way where people can't hear, where there's screaming is going on inside the person, where people around them don't hear it. These are different examples of it. Mordechai Atzadik standing up to Haman, Rabbeinu is an example of Azus Dikdusha. Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachve, that's Azus Dikdusha. Everybody else is bowing down, everybody else is worshipping this, and I won't. These are all examples of Azus Dikdusha. I would say all the different forms. One specific example that we see throughout generations is the ridicule that people who want to come close to tzaddikim very often are ridiculed for it. Proof is, as far back as Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Pnei Moshe kepnei chamo, pnei Yeshua kepnei lavona, oy lo isa busha, oy lo isa klima. That the Zekenim Shebador, the other students during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away and they realized how much they had missed out, how much Yehoshua, who humbled himself to be the one to set up the chairs at the shir and all the different serving that he did of Moshe Rabbeinu, when they saw where it got him, and they who weren't willing to humble themselves in that way, what they lost out on, they felt a busha. And also the fact that this Azus Dikdusha is the opposite of Azus Desitrachra. In other words, when we talk about Azus Desitrachra means having chutzpah where it's misplaced. Azus Dikdusha obviously means anivus. In other words, the opposite of this chutzpah, the wrong kind of chutzpah. Knowing when to make yourself like nothing. V'zeh, Rabbi Nezal says, this is also the meaning in the pasuk, v'hoyo ekev tishmu'un eisa mishpotim ho'eleh. Ekev, there's a pasuk in the beginning of one of the parshas in Dvorim, where it says, if you will listen to what Hashem tells you to do, etc., etc. The word ekev means the heel of the foot, also. Rabbi Nezal says, ekev bechinas raglin. The word ekev represents the feet. V'raglin heim bechinas samechichnanal. We said earlier that the feet are these leaders of Bnei Yisrael whose job it is to reprimand the Jews when they need it. V'lohem megalim hadinim. And it's to these leaders that Hashem reveals His judgment. Whenever Hashem, for example, when Hashem wanted to punish the people of Sodom, first He notified Avram Avinu. Why? Because Avraham Avinu was one of these raglin, one of these feet whose mission it is to be notified, to be informed, and he's the one who goes to the people to try to get them to do tshuva, to try to see if there's any option of helping them. V'heim moichichen es hador, they reprimand the generation. V'zeh v'hoyo ekev tishmon, haynu shembebechinas raglin, haynu hamoichichen tishmon es hamishpatim ho'ele. Through them, the Jews get to hear Hashem's mishpatim, the judgments of Hashem. Haynu hadinim, this means any din that's issued against Bnei Israel. Ki lohem megalim oisam kanal, because it's these tzaddikim whom Hashem informs in advance what's going to happen to the Jewish people. V'heim moichichim bozeh hador, and when they have this information, they're the ones who go inform the Jews as to what's in store for them if they don't improve. Now Rabbeinu Zal adds, kol hakoilos heim bechinas azus. We learned earlier that all types of koil of sound represent azus. Koil hamoichiach, who bechinas koil hashofar. The voice of a tzaddik reprimanding the Jewish people, that represents the sound of the shofar. The Rambam Zal says that when they start blowing the shofar, Rosh Chodesh Elul, throughout the whole month of Elul, the shofar screams out to every Jew, Uru Yeshena Mishnaschem V'Nerdome Mitirdamaschem. All the Jews that are asleep, that have been sleeping throughout the 11 months of the year, wake up. This is your last chance. This is the last month of the year. Elul, you have a chance to fix up whatever you did wrong throughout the whole year to get ready for Rosh Hashanah, when the accounting is going to be done. Kamay Shekosuv, as the Pasuk says, Kashoifer Chorem Koilech V'Hageid La'ami Pishom. Hashem says to the Novi that when you're going to reprimand the Jews, lift up your voice like the shofar and tell them their sins. So we see that the koil shofar is an inyan of the moichiach. V'chein koil negino, and so too when a Jew sings, zmiras and Shabbos, or any singing of kedusha that's done, Rabbeinu Zal says that that's also the symbol of azus digdusha. V'zeh b'chinas heitivu nagen bisrua, beautify your song with a trua. The connection between nagen, negina, and trua, the koil shofar. Koil hanigun hu bechinas trua. The sound of singing is also a concept of trua, bechinas shofar. Trua is one of the sounds of the shofar. Bechinas viato tire es ami. You will lead my people. You will be the shepherd of my people. The word tire over here means also to punish. In other words, to strike out at them, at Bnei Yisrael. So these are all tied together. Rabbeinu Zal says that here again, another example of Azus Dikdusha, a person not being asleep, that person singing, and all types of koil of Kedusha are all forms of Azus Dikdusha. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, there's a Gemara that says, Bimei Rabban Gamliel, Hayulaimdim Toira Bamida, the Gemara says. That during the time of Rabban Gamliel, the Gemara says at the end of Saita, Mishemes this rabbi, butlo this item. When this great Jewish leader passed away, this special quality left with him. And it lists a whole series. When Rabbi Danossi passed away, Anivus went away. The Gemara says when Rabban Gamliel passed away, there was no longer any, the Kovod HaTorah went down. Rabbeinu Zal explains this. Bimei Rabban Gamliel hoya hador shehoya toirosom bechinas nishma, bechinas tefila. During the time of Rabban Gamliel, they were a generation whose Torah was on the level of nishma. We spoke earlier about the concept of nasev and nishma and what that represented, how nishma represented a much higher level. Nishma corresponds to tefila. Rabbeinu Zal says during that generation, their Torah was on a level of nishma. V'zeshom razal, this is what the Gemara says, Bimei Rabban Gamliel hoyuloimdim Torah ba'amida. That during the time of Rabban Gamliel, they used to learn Torah standing up. They wouldn't sit at a shir. They would stand up as a sign of extra respect for the Torah. Amida hu bechinas tefila kanal. The word amida is also the nickname that's given to Shimon Esrei. Tefila is called amida. Vayam, that it says that Avraham Avinu came el hamokoim asher omad shom, to the place that he had been mispalel earlier. Rabbi Nizal says, V'alkein mishemes Rav Gamliel botel kovar ha-toira k'moy shem razal. Therefore, the Gemara says that when Rav Gamliel passed away, the kovar ha-toira went down a level. Because obviously, during his generation, the Torah, the kovar ha-toira was on a much higher level. It was the nase, which is normally the symbol for Torah. By them, the Torah was on the level of nishma, a much higher level.
How does this tie into the Torah? The concept of the two
levels? Two levels, Nishma being the higher level. When it says that by them they learned Torah, Ba'amido, it means that their Torah was on the level of Nishma, a much higher level. Excuse me? To a degree. In other words, here that the emphasis is that by him, he taught his students a certain extra respect for Torah, more above standard. The fact that by him, the learning was done, people didn't sit while they were learning, they were standing. This showed a tremendous extra degree of Kovar HaTorah. When he left, people stopped doing this. The Gemara says from that point, Kovar HaTorah dropped, a major visible change. Now Rabbi Nizal says, "B'chol oilam yesh b'chinas nase v'nishma." Within every world, within every single level, there exists this concept of nase and nishma, as we explained earlier. V'chein b'malochim yesh nase v'nishma. Even by the angels, there exists a concept of nase, of doing, and nishma being understanding. Nishma representing a higher level of sechel. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Giboyrei Koyach, Oisei Devoroi, Lishmoya Bekoil Devoroi. That the Malochim are called Giboyrei Koyach, very powerful. Oisei Devoroi, a concept of Nase, Lishmoya Bekoil Devoroi, a concept of Nishma. That this concept of Nase and Nishma exists by angels also. Ukamayshem Razal, as the Gemara says, that when the Jews made this statement, Nase v'nishma by Matan Torah, a voice from heaven came forth and said, Mi gila roz ze lebonai, who revealed this secret to my children, roz shemalachi ashores mishtamshimboy, a secret which only angels are aware of. They're the ones that use this secret. That the Malachim are the ones who know this secret of Nasev and Ishma, of showing a dedication to Hashem, willing to do without understanding. Before we understand completely what's right and wrong, a willingness to do it on faith alone, this is how the Malachim serve Hashem. The Yidden at Har Sinai came forth with this same statement of Nasev and Ishma. Now Rabbi Nizal says, "I efsher lehiskarev el hakedusha ki im al yedei azus." It's impossible for a Jew to come close to kedusha unless the person has azus. Kemay shekosuv hevi az kanomer. As the Shulchan Aruch begins, one of the opening instructions of the Shulchan Aruch is that to be Jewish, to be an observant Jew, is going to take azus. You're going to have to stand up for what you believe. And it's going to take tremendous strength at times. Kimavur la'el, as we learned earlier. V'chein om razal, and the Gemara actually says this. Lo nitno toiro li'Yisroel, elo mipnei she'ein azin. The Gemara says that the only reason why Hashem gave the Torah to the Jews is because they are am k'shei oirif. They're stubborn, they're strong, they don't fall easy. And when they fall, they pick themselves up. This concept of a stubbornness, an unwillingness to give up easily, or to give up, period. Rabbi Nizal had spoken earlier about busha, about the quality of boishes ponim ligan eden, that a person who experiences shame, embarrassment, and takes it the right way, that gets a person to gan eden. Rabbi Nizal now makes a comment, g'doyla busha shenichbala shnei ponim baposuk, that this item of busha is so special that it's mentioned twice in a pasuk. V'lo yivoyshu ami loylam, as the Gemara says in Moed Kotten. The Gemara mentions in Moed Kotten that one of the rabbis, Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, was leaving Rav. And he said to his son, go get a bracha from him. He's a tzaddik, Rav, make sure you get a bracha from him. So the Gemara says that he went to Rav and he asked him for a bracha, and he said to him, may it be the will of Hashem, deloy tebayesh, veloy tezbayesh, that you shouldn't embarrass and you shouldn't be embarrassed. So the Gemara says, he went back to his father, Rabbi Shimon Chalafta, and Rabbi Shimon Chalafta said to him, what did he say to you? What kind of bracha did he give you? So he said to him, he made some kind of a joke. I didn't get what he said I should embarrass, shouldn't be embarrassed. He thought he was like just a play on words. The Omar, that's what he said to me. Omar Lay, so Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta said to his son, you think he said a joke? Berchach, birchaso de birchon kutshebrichu liYisrael v'tonabo. He blessed you with that bracha that Hashem gave to the Jews and repeated it. Now, Hashem considers this item of busha so important that Hashem said it twice in one pasuk. Dichsiv, as the pasuk says, va'achaltem ochel v'savoya, you will eat and be filled, v'hilaltem, and you'll praise Hashem, v'lo yevoishu ami loyla, and my nation will never be embarrassed, v'idatem ki bekerav Yisrael oni, and you'll know that I'm always with the Jews, v'lo yevoishu ami loyla. And the pasuk repeats again, and you will never be embarrassed. So that this item, a person being zeche, to avoid the wrong kind of shame and embarrassment by having boishes ponim before Hashem, by being embarrassed to do something against Hashem, this is considered to be one of the most special things. Now Rabbi Nezal says, Hagan Eden v'hagehenim heim bozeh ho'olam mamish. Gan Eden and Gehenim are both found within this world. However, it's impossible for a person to get there, because of the coldness that's found in Antarctica and in the Arctic, in those two places by the poles. It's impossible for a person to reach to get to the places where Gan Eden and Gehenna are found. V'tzar habusha godol ma'oid yoiser mi'oynish Gehenna. Rabbi Nezal says the pain of embarrassment is even worse than the pain of Gehenna. V'chol yisurei olam hazeh yesh bohem tzar habusha. All the suffering that people experience in this world, one of the main nekudos of the suffering is the shame, the embarrassment that goes with it. Shemizbayesh mechaverov al sheyesh lo yisurim. The fact that a person is embarrassed in front of other people over the fact that they're suffering. If a person is lacking in parnosa, or a person's going through whatever kind of suffering the person's going through, Rabbi Nezal says here that one of the main aspects of the suffering is the shame and embarrassment that the person feels for other people. V'chein lo'osid lovoy. And the same thing is going to be true in the future. Tsar habusha godoil ma'oid. The pain that's going to come from shame, from embarrassment, is going to be very great. Vafilu kol tzadik nichve mechuposoi shel chaveroi. The Gemara says that even tzadikim are going to feel a burn. They're going to feel a tremendous pain and pain over seeing a tzaddik that reached a higher level than them, and knowing that I could have done that if I just would have tried a little bit harder. That's going to cause, that shame is going to cause a burn, nichve. And the Gemara says, oy lo isa busha, oy lo isa chlima. Woe is to that shame and embarrassment that people will feel then. K'moy sham razal, as the Gemara says, v'amru sham, the Gemara says over there, p'nei Moshe k'p'nei chama, Pnei Yeshua ke pnei Lavana, oila lo isa busha, oila lo isa chlima. Even the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua, you would say that they're both great tzaddikim. I mean, neither one of them has anything to worry about. And yet the fact that the Gemara shows a difference between them, the fact that the Gemara compares Moshe Rabbeinu to the sun, and it compares Yehoshua to the moon, which is relatively a much lower level, that itself will be a major embarrassment. Imagine if this is how the Gemara writes about tzaddikim, about how they'll be embarrassed over the fact that they're not as great as they could have been. Try to imagine the shame and embarrassment that a person who does averos is going to feel over there. The imhu b'madrega she'ein tzorech lizbayish mishum adam. And if a person has reached the top level of Kiddusha, he's the biggest tzaddik in the world, where he has nobody to be embarrassed for, there's nobody above him, Yesh Lizbayish Me'akodesh Baruch Hu. Then that tzaddik has to feel embarrassed before Hashem. That tzaddik, the level above him is Hashem himself, Kav Yochel, and when the tzaddik compares himself to Hashem, that itself brings him tremendous embarrassment. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim Kol HaTorah, because the Gemara says Hashem himself is Mekayim the mitzvahs of the Torah. Kamoi Shem Razalas, the Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu Koyver Mesim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevaker Cholim, Hashem does the mitzvahs of the Torah. If that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevaker Cholim, the Shar Mitzvahs HaTorah, Shechoshu Razal, Shechadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim Oysam, all the different mitzvahs that the Gemara says Hashem performs. The Gam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel, the Gemara says Hashem davens, Kamoi Shem Razal, Minayin, Shechadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel. How do we know that Hashem davens? Because there's a pasuk, V'simachtim Beveis Tfilosi. Hashem says, I will give the Jews joy in my house of tefillah, implying that Hashem himself uses it. Umay Mispalel, and the Gemara even asks, what is the tefillah of Hashem? Yihirotzein milafonai, Sheyich Beshu Rachmi Eskasi. May it be my will that my kindness should conquer my anger against the Jews. Ubevadai shakodesh baruch hu mekayim mitzvah satoira utfila kemoi sheroi lakodesh baruch hu. And certainly, if Hashem is doing a mitzvah, you can bet that Hashem is doing it the way only Hashem knows how to do it, meaning with the epitome of perfection. So that even the biggest tzaddik who does a mitzvah well, perfectly on his level, compared to how Hashem does the mitzvahs, there's no comparison. There still is what to be embarrassed about. The kama rochik bein kiyum atoira sheloi ubein tefila l'sheloi l'toira tefila shel Hashem Yisborach. Imagine how vast a difference there is between the toira and tefila of the biggest tzaddik versus the toira and tefila of Hashem himself. Because each and every person serves Hashem according to their madrega, according to their level of nasa v'nishma, as we learned earlier, within the framework of Torah and Tefillah. So here Rabbeinu is all stressing that imagine if the Gemara speaks about shame and embarrassment among tzaddikim, that tzaddikim who will be in Gan Eden, and one each, no two tzaddikim will be on the same level. Each and every person, according to what they accomplished in this world, according to how religious they were, this will earn them a certain rank in Gan Eden. If the Gemara uses this kind of terminology about tzaddikim, that there's going to be shame and embarrassment that a person will feel over the fact that he'll see people above him, and he'll know that he could have been there. On this, all it would have taken was a little bit of more effort in this world. Imagine Lahavdil, the other side, Rachmana Litzlan, where the Torah says where there's real busha, the shame and embarrassment that a person will feel when things will be publicized, that world is called the Olam HaEmes, the world of truth, where nobody's going to be able to hide, everybody is going to be known exactly for what they were in this world. Imagine how much more so regular people have to be concerned about this busha. Now Rav Nosson Zalei adds, with this, we conclude this is the last one of six shiurim that we had on this chapter on Likutei Moran. Therefore, if somebody didn't follow completely what we had here, you have to know that it's the sixth of a series. When Rabbein Ezal began discussing this shiur, he began from this last paragraph that we just spoke about. He started talking about this subject until he went from that topic, he went to the second topic of discussing a concept of Hashem's learning and Hashem's davening, what that's all about, Kakos of Khan, as we explained earlier. And then Rabbein Ezal went from topic to topic until he completed this whole shir. However, Rabbein Ezal writes that when I wrote this shir down in front of Rabbein Ezal, Hofach HaDovar Ktsas, he changed the sequence from how he gave the shiur orally to how he wanted it written down. He changed it around. V'tzivo olai lahaschal ha-toyro me'inyin choysim b'toy choysim kanal. And he asked me to begin this chapter of Likut Imran from the topic of choysim, explaining the two choysimos, which was all the way in the beginning. V'Hashem yodea kavanosoi. Hashem knows what Rabbeinu Zal's reason was for why he wanted the written version of this to be different from the way it was presented orally. With this, we finish this chapter on Likut Imran and this section of Likut Imran. These last three chapters were based on a certain section in the Zohar HaKadosh called Safra Detzniusa, the hidden sefer, and Rabbeinu Zal explained three or four statements from there. In the next chapter, in the next section, now Rav Nosson Zal writes, Moroimo Mahu Elokim, Bekadmaiso Basraiso, Bless, exalted is Hashem in the beginning and in the end. The Tzovi, the Isra Ibon, Hashem who chose us and wanted us, Umosar Lonoi Raiso, and who gave the Jewish people the Torah. The Zachino, Lisaimo, Safra Detzniusa. We bless Hashem over the fact that we had the privilege of concluding this section that deals with the Safra Detzniusa. Ke'an Norim Yedono, now we lift up our hands, Kodem Elokono, before Hashem. Diyamoid Lono Liyamino, that Hashem should give us the support, He should stand on our right side. Lahaschil Velikmoir, Rozen Eloin, Hagnuzin Besoved Ve'atuna, to reveal secrets on the section in the Gemara that deals with the Soved Ve'atuna. This next section that's coming up is one of the most fantastic stories in the Gemara. The Gemara in Bechoros says that one of the rabbis in the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, was known as the Chakimo de Yudon. He was considered to be the sharpest of all the rabbis during his time. The Gemara says that the reason why he was zeicha to this was because his mother made sure, even as a baby, even while he was a baby, in a carriage, rather than have him sit in the carriage at home, she brought him to shul, to the Beis Medrash, where the rabbis were learning, and she sat there with him in the room, as long as he wasn't making noise, naturally. She sat there with him in the room, saying, let him absorb the vapors, the sounds of Torah. Even at that age, let him hear, let this be what his ears hear. Rather than hearing a music box or other baloney, let his ears be filled with those sounds. And the Gemara says, because he got such a pure start, this gave him an edge, in a sense, that he was lechet to become Chakim of the Yudoyim. So the Gemara says that one time, one of the kings started asking him all kinds of interesting questions. He asked them, what's the pregnancy period of a snake? So Rabbi Shulben Chananya said, 7 years. Takes a snake 7 years to give birth. So he said, how could you say that when the scientists say that it's 3 years or 4 years? I don't remember which one, 3 or 4 years. So Rabbi Shua ben Hanani said it's very simple. When they analyzed the snake, they took a snake that was already pregnant for 3 years. That's why they came up with the wrong answer. And the king asked them a few such questions, and in each case he disagreed with what scientists in those days believed. So the king said to him, if you're so smart, I challenge you to go to Athens, Atuna, where they have this congress of 70 leaders, the 70 wise philosophers of Athens, and I challenge you to take them on in battle. Let's see you go up against them, and let's see who can win. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shua ben Hananya prepared a special ship with 70 chairs. The Gemara discusses how he designed this ship and everything, and he traveled to Athens to go take on these 70 wise men. And the Gemara describes that they had set up a special plan to make it impossible for somebody to break into the place where they were. They had guards set up outside, and nobody could get in. They had a special, like the Mishmar HaGvul uses here, they had sand set up in front, where if there were any footsteps, they would be able to tell immediately. They only accepted footsteps going out from a certain exit. If they saw footsteps coming in, immediately they would check to see somebody had broken, gotten in, and they would immediately catch them and kill them. They didn't allow anybody into their chamber where they sat in conference. So the Gemara shows how he tricked, how he was able to fool the guards, how he got inside. And the Gemara discusses a whole series of the debate that went on between them. They asked him, he said to them, we'll see who's smarter. Whichever one of us wins, the other one has to submit. So the Gemara says they started asking each other questions, and the questions seem to be silly. They seem to be on items that don't relate to anything of major significance. Rabbeinu Zal, in the next four or five chapters in Likutei Moran, takes four or five of their questions, their debates, and shows the depth behind what they were really debating. He was taking on the shrewdest philosophers at that time. The discussion was obviously on the most important issues of Emunah, of Emunah Hashem, etc. Rabbeinu Zal is going to give fantastic things to explain these stories. The next one coming up deals specifically with the topic of money, Bechlal, the whole concept of the search for Parnosa, etc., that whole issue. Rabbeinu Zal is going to discuss the two sides of the coin, the positive and negative related to that. Should be zecher to start it and complete it and to go on. It's a shame. Amen. It's a shame. Amen.